person, can I get you to start realizing that God has a plan that's way beyond this humdrum existence you're going through? Can I get you to realize it's bigger than whatever occupation you're dreaming of having? Can I get you to realize God has a big spiritual purpose for your life?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. In the first part of the message airing tonight, Pastor Brian Grant drew from the life of Joseph a brief list of important and personal things we must know about God's purpose for our lives. The first thing each of us should know is that God's purpose is bigger than my occupation. My job is not why he put me here. Secondly, Pastor Grant made it clear from God's word that his purpose always has a spiritual connection. Thirdly, and again from God's word, Pastor Grant showed how experiencing God's purpose will bring pleasure and satisfaction. Now, as we resume the message this evening, Pastor Grant brings his fourth important thing to know. So we invite you to turn once again to Genesis chapter 42 and listen with us as Pastor Grant brings the concluding part of his message, I Can See Clearly Now. Here again is Pastor Grant.
God's purpose for your life is what? Good. It's pleasing and it's perfect. It will give you pleasure. I can hear the Apostle Paul as he comes to the end of his race. And he says, what? I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. What a joy to come to a point in your life to recognize not only did you discover God's purpose for your life, but you have achieved it. And so Paul could die with a sense of satisfaction and joy for what God had made possible in his life. My friend, I want to ask you, what could be more fulfilling than to know that at the end of your road, you have carried out the exact specific purpose why God put you on this planet? I wonder how many, don't raise your hand. Have you discovered why God put you on this planet? Wouldn't you like to know that when God calls you home to heaven, you can say like the Apostle Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Wouldn't you like to say, God, I finished my course and I finished well, exactly what you had in mind, why you put me on this planet. By God's grace and your empowerment, God, I have done it. It's possible. But my friends, it ain't going to happen until I come to the point where I decide I'm going to make a commitment to God. I plead with you, give your bodies to God because of all he has done. This ain't going to happen until I'm willing to commit my life to God and say, God, I am giving you my life as a living sacrifice. God is not looking for a dead sacrifice. He wants an alive one. Somebody who is alive and willing to serve him. Young person, with all your energy and all your life ahead of you, he's saying, give it to me. And I'm trusting that this morning that there will be some who will say to God, God, I want to discover your purpose. And God, I am willing to serve you. I'm willing to dedicate my life to you. Listen, God's purpose is bigger than your occupation. God's purpose always has a spiritual connection. God's purpose will bring you great pleasure. But fourth, God's purpose cannot be blocked by others. Oh, put that down. Oh, you didn't mind like how I wrote it in English, but it is what it is. God's purpose cannot be blocked by others. Genesis chapter 42. I'm looking at verse 6. Now Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he who sold to people, all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came. And what did they do? Bowed down before him. Anybody remember the dream? What was the dream? All right. Let me help all those who didn't come to the series. Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. I'm not going to always help you. So when we have the series, you need to promise to come. Amen? Genesis chapter 37, verse 5. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and stood upright. And indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And the brothers got so mad, they wanted to kill him. Am I right about that? Am I making that story up? Them brothers said, I'm going to kill this boy. Who does he think he is but my sheaf? We're going to bow to you. We ain't bowing down to you. We're going to kill you. And then what? Reuben begged for him, and so they sold him. Reuben was hoping to rescue him. But they sold him. And they thought that was the end of the story. But God. Amen? But God. The sovereign God. God can do whatever he wants to do when he wants to, because he is sovereign. God is God. Amen. Hallelujah. God is God. And God had a purpose for Joseph, and nobody could block it. You're going to find in a minute the only person who can block God's purpose is you. Well, I'm coming there. Nobody else can block it. And so here we find 22 years later. God ain't in no rush. 22 years later, God's purpose is being fulfilled. And these brothers are bowing just as God had stated, part of God's plan. You know, I heard a middle-aged student, he went back to school, and you know, he won an award for being the most outstanding late bloomer. And because he was in his 50s when he went back to finish his undergraduate degree. And so, but in his acceptance speech, he said, you know, growing up, my dad told me that I shouldn't bother to work very hard, because he said, no matter how hard I work academically, the best job I would ever get is to be a garbage collector. Now, I could have gone down and I was going to say some things about, because I know the playing field is not level. Let's be honest, the playing field is not level. But I'm still here to say that no matter whether this playing field is level or not, nobody can block my God. Amen? Put this down in your notes. If you're walking with God, nobody can stop God from fulfilling his purpose in your life. It don't matter if the playing field is level, square, no matter what. If God has a purpose for you, nobody can block it. Young person, you need to get that. Older person, you need to get it. Nobody can block God's purpose for your life. Now, I know some of us, we have a lot of family drama. You know, we come from some tough places, some tough homes. All sort of stuff is going on. Sometimes we even feel like running away. But listen, I just want you to know, young person, older person, despite all the drama, despite what they have done to you, despite how they have hurt you, despite how they abused you, no matter what mom or dad did, they abandoned you. Last night's movie, it was about a boy who felt he was abandoned. And so because he felt he was abandoned, he failed to fall in love with those who adopted him. Here were parents who loved him and adopted him, but because he was still so caught up with the fact that his parents had given him up for adoption, he could not ever get it on. And I believe there's somebody here listening to me this morning, and you're still being troubled and traumatized by the fact that your parents put you up for adoption. My friend, young person, don't let that bug you down so much, because sometimes if you're not careful, it like make you miss achieving and discovering God's purpose. Listen, the fact that they gave you up for adoption, the sovereign God is going to use your adopted parents to help you to discover your purpose. put beside that Ephesians 3:20. I think you may have that in your notes. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think. My brother and my sister, God is able. So put this in your notes. The only person that can block me from discovering God's purpose for my life is me. You see, how you respond to the drama can derail your future. I hope you'll be here next week. Next week I'm talking about the power of forgiveness. Listen, if Joseph did not have the right attitude and the right response to all his siblings had done to him, he would have derailed God's purpose for his life. I hope you realize that. How you respond to the drama can derail your purpose. But if you decide to walk with God, he can give you a beautiful future, no matter how messed up your history has been.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now, let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
So as I close, let me give you three quick things here. I'm closing, but I'm not closing. This is what we call the beginning of the close. Because I still have three things to share with you. Number one, because here are three ways we can mess ourselves up. Here are three things that can derail us from discovering God's purpose. Number one, a sloppy dedication to God. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 already told us that we are to give our bodies to Christ as a sacrifice. But I'm convinced that there are a lot of Christians who they might realize it, but they're backslidden. Oh, it's been a long time I haven't told you the illustration of how to cook a frog. So let me tell it to you today. How do you cook a frog? I wouldn't try this recipe when I go home. Let me start by saying, you do not cook a frog by boiling a pot of water to boiling point, taking the frog from that little mud pool that he's in, and just taking him from that cold pot and putting him in the hot pot. Because the minute his toes hit the hot water, he is going to jump. So what you do, I'm talking about cooking a live frog. What you do, you take a nice cold pot of water, you take it outside to his mud hole, where he's in that thing, and you take it and you put him in this pot of cold water. Try it when you go home. There is so little difference in the temperature, there is an imperceptible change. The poor little frog, he is still happy. Then take it inside. Put him on the fire. Please put it on simmer first. Let it boil, let the temperature increase very gradually. He doesn't even realize the temperature is changing until he's cooked. And after he's cooked, you can now break him apart and have nice frog legs. So you say, Pastor, what does that have to do with us? You know Satan's trick? The way he gets most of us Christians to backslide is not by throwing a whole ton of sin in your face. And it is so blatantly sin. You say, oh no. No, what he does, it's very gradual. You see, you used to go to church every week, but after a while you can come 3 times out of 4, then 2 times out of 4, then you may even miss a whole month. It's gradual. There was stuff you would never watch on TV. No, you can watch almost anything, but it happens slowly. Oh, I could go on and on. How is he working in you? What is it in your ear? In what ear are you gradually drifting? In what area are you backsliding? If I am going to discover God's purpose for my life, I need to make sure I don't have a sloppy dedication. Second, I need to make sure I don't get discouraged by adversity. I guarantee one thing. If you live long enough, you're going to have trouble. Am I right about it? The psalmist Asaph, he had trouble. And in Psalm 73, I'm not going to take the time to look at it, but put it in your notes. You can look it up. In Psalm 73, his frustration with God boiled over. In Psalm 73. And if I put it in my words, Asaph the psalmist, he says to God, God, I don't think you're so fair, because it looks to me like the people who are ungodly are having less trouble than me. I'm living for you, and these ungodly people seem to be having much less trouble than me. God, what's the deal here? And so he says, I don't even see the use of trying to stay pure. What's the use of living with integrity? What's the use of serving you if I got to go through all this? Oh, sometimes I talk to Christians and they're on the border, you know, because they're, some of the Asaph syndrome is there. Because we're so disappointed, we thought, here we are trusting Jesus. He should have given me a bed of roses and just put me on a nylon, I almost said a nylon road, that's my roots. Put me on a smooth road all the way to heaven. And then here it comes, trouble, trouble, trouble. And I forget that what I have that the ungodly don't have, I have God's grace. Everybody's going to have drama, but hallelujah, we got God's amazing grace. By the end of Psalm 73, Asaph had turned. Hallelujah. By the end of 73, he turns. Asaph falls in love with God again. And Asaph says to God, God, there is absolutely nobody on earth I desire beside you. God, you have made things so plain to me. Read Psalm 73 when you go home. God, you've made it so plain, God. You're it. You're my person. Somebody needs to fall in love with God all over again today. Oh, you're going through a tough time. And you almost want to give up. Don't give up. Fall in love with him. Oh, you know, we used to sing a song back. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like him. Hallelujah, never forget it. There's no one like him. How do I mess myself up? How do I miss finding out my purpose? A sloppy dedication. Distracted by drama and problems. But finally, I'm still spiritually dead. There's some of you right now, you're still spiritually dead. Ephesians 2:1, you have he quickened, you have he made alive, who were dead. We were all born dead. We were born spiritually dead. Because of sin, we were born spiritually dead. But hallelujah, spiritual life is available. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My friend, right now, you can move from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. You cannot discover God's spiritual purpose if you're spiritually dead. If you're not sure you're saved, come to Jesus today. It was about 1859 when Charles Blondin, a famous tightrope walker, announced that he was going to walk across the Niagara Falls from the American side to the Canadian side. And of course, thousands of people were there to see this incredible feat. How many of you have been to the Niagara Falls? You've seen the incredible power of the water, the swirling waters. Can you imagine someone daring to walk across the falls just on a rope? By the way, this is a true story. And so Blondin, he connected his rope people there. And can you imagine the excitement and the tenseness, the tension in the air as Mr. Blondin, he steps out on the rope. And little by little, he's halfway. You're still worried because the one thing you don't want to see him is for him to drop and kill himself right in front of your eyes. Little by little, he made it. So Mr. Blondin turns around. He goes and he walks much briskly the next time. Over the other way again. Then he gets a wheelbarrow and he pushes a wheelbarrow across the Niagara Falls. Then he puts a weight in the wheelbarrow, 200 pound weight, and he pushes that across. Everybody, ooh, ah, ooh. Then he said this, how many of you believe I can push a person across the Niagara Falls? No, if you're there and he said, do you believe I can push a person across, what would you do? I would say, yes, if you push a 200-pound person, 200-pound thing, most people would qualify. I might make it. Yes, he could push a person across the Niagara Falls. And then he said, how many of you will let me push you across the Niagara Falls? Not one soul was willing. Let me just say this as I sit down, as I quit. Everybody knew he could, but nobody would commit to let him push them. Oh, we've been so excited listening to God is sovereign. We know God can. We know God does have a purpose, but will you make that commitment? You're not saved. Will you make your commitment? Will you say, God, I've known for a long time you can save me, but today, I want you to save me today. I'm committing. I'm giving myself to you. You've known for a long time that God wants you to give yourself as a sacrifice. You know it. Would you commit today? Say, God, here is my life.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.